essential listening. What's the time? It's coming up to 12:45. Graham will be here at 1 o'clock. There's a new film out at the moment. Jack Nicholson and Ben Stiller star it. Is it Ben Stiller? Called Anger Management. I saw the advert as I was driving past, and I was just wondering, well, we have kind of anger management courses in this country. Well, apparently we do. Mike Fisher is from the British Association of Anger Management, or BAAM, BAM. Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
I expect you'll get loads of calls from people like me, Mike, very soon saying, how do we deal with anger management in this country? Do you get a lot of requests for your services?
You know, I was speaking to my wife last night, and she was telling me that we've worked with, in two of our programs, we've worked with over 160 people in the last 6 months, and we've had over 100 people come to our Tasty Evenings. So that's just two of our programs, and we do a hell of a lot of work across the country, including Ireland.
So when you say programs, Mike, what kind of so is there different levels of program for anger management?
Well, we have anger management programs for adults, for children, for health professionals. We have anger management programs for couples, for families. And then in the anger management programs we have for adults, we have a 10-week program, 3 hours a week over 10 weeks. And we have a weekend program, starts on a Friday afternoon and finishes on a Sunday. All the same material is taught, but we just offer a variety of options.
When I was a lot younger, Mike, I used to have a really bad temper. I had a violent temper, and as much as I wasn't violent to anybody else, I would throw things or I'd punch the door. As you get older, you start to get a wee bit more mature. Is that what your experience, once that maturity level clicks in? But so the question I was going to ask is, when you get a younger person with anger problems, how do you deal with it? Because you must have to deal with it in different ways.
Yes. I mean, there's two ways I want to respond to that answer. The first part of that answer is in relation to what you're saying. What we actually have found that some people, just like yourself, have learned how to control and contain their anger. Then you get somebody else, the older they get, the more irritated, aggravated, annoyed they get. You know, the more they feel confident in themselves, the more they feel they can throw their weight around. But that's the first part of the answer. The second part of the answer is that, yes, working with young people is very different to working with adults, because one of the things with young people is they don't feel that they're understood. They don't feel appreciated. They don't feel valued. They don't feel heard or listened to or even seen. And because of that, a lot of their angry and aggressive behavior is a way of getting attention.
Right.
So any attention is better than no attention.
Now that, you know, when I think about it, that's probably hits right to the core of it. There's been some fairly high-profile cases. We don't have to talk about those individually. People like Roy Keane.
Sure.
The arguments in the sort of from the sports pundits say that he's not the player he was since his injury. Mm. I wonder, Mike, and it's just my hypothesis on this. I wonder whether, since he's been maybe if he is taking anger management counselling, whether he's not the player because of that.
I'm inclined to agree. You see, there's so many different ways of looking at anger. You can take your anger, all those angry feelings, you can harness that energy, and you can use it to actually punch forward in life, you know, to be brilliant at what you do. That's the one side of anger. But then anger also has a shadow side, meaning that when he comes off the pitch, how does he behave then?
Yeah.
And how does his behavior then impact, you know, his relationships? So there's a very, very fine line. Is how do I take my anger and use it to enhance my life, to change my life, to affect change in the world, and at the same time be aware of the impact that it has on others. So, you know, here's a classic example of somebody who knew how to take his anger and channel it on the field.
Yeah.
On the field, it's a different story. It's a different game.
Yeah, and I suppose it's almost categorizing aspects of your life, isn't it? And how you deal with, like when you come into work, dealing with that and how you get things done. The other one as well, Mike, and I'm interested in your point on this one. What's the difference between really assertive and really angry?
Yeah, lovely question. Thank you. I've been waiting for that question to be asked for a few years now, because I never got that question asked before. I think that the difference is that, you know, I can speak to you in a very assertive way with actually outcoming across angry or without coming across as abusive or hostile and aggressive. I can say to you in a certain way, look, I don't want you doing that anymore. Or, you know, whenever you do that, I find myself feeling very sad, very hurt, very scared, and sometimes even very angry. I prefer you not to speak to me like that. I prefer you not to do things like that. This is what I need from you. That's the cleanest way that I can communicate my feelings of anger.
Right.
Any of my feelings.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to get a result, so let's be clear about that. But what is the alternative? The alternative is to be abusive. And we talk about five anger styles, and I'll just very quickly
share
them because they're really cool. The one is the intimidator. You know, the type of individual who looks can kill, fingers can point, heavy body posturing, huffing and puffing, and being very, very threatening.
Yeah.
That's the intimidator. That's one style. The other style is the interrogator. Interesting character. Asks a whole lot of questions. Where have you been? What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? What time do you think this is? Not saying, look, I feel really angry with you. I was really afraid that you might have injured yourself or you might have got hurt. I've been up all night. I need you to give me a call next time if you know you're going to be staying out late. All I do is I go into that very heavy interrogative style rather than saying to you that I feel angry. Then we have another interesting character called the poor me, victim martyr.
Yeah.
Poor me, victim martyr says things like, you know, as your mother, after all the things that I do for you, just look at the way you treat me. Or nobody understands me. Every time I try to get it right, I get it wrong. You know, that's the kind of thing that
Poor
me says. Rather than saying, look, honey, I'm really angry with you. I cooked a meal at 6 o'clock. I've been waiting for the last 3 hours. You haven't arrived. You know, please, if you're not going to arrive, give me a call. Rather than, oh, I've been slaving over stove all day, preparing a meal for you, and you don't arrive. And it's just a moaning, whining process.
You know what, Mike? Because I know you've got another two to do on that but that one you've just talked about, I find the hardest to deal with.
Absolutely.
Because if it's mano-mano, you can have a stand-up argument.
Yeah.
But if you're working it as we different gender, then dealing with that is very difficult.
Yes.
Because, you know, and it's all about control, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's about control, but it's also about, it's power and control, but it's also about evoking shame and guilt.
Aye.
That's what that is. And I absolutely agree with you, because somebody who is in a poor me victim position has a hell of a lot of power in a relationship, because they're very, very manipulative.
Yeah.
Instead of saying to you in a very clear, assertive way, look, dinner's at 6. You know that dinner's at 6. Be here on time. Otherwise, guess what I'm going to do? I'm not going to cook for you, and I'm going to just cook for myself. So I'm creating very, very clear boundaries.
Mike, I'm watching the clock here. I'm aware of the time. Okay. What's the other two categories? I'm interested in those.
The other two are very interesting. There's the winder-upper, who we recently identified. You know, the person who takes the piss. The person who makes you angry but has a smile on their face.
Yeah.
Turn it into a joke. And as soon as you react, they say to you things like, you know, you're so serious, you can't take a joke. But meanwhile, they've taken a stab at me.
Yeah,
that's the one, the winder-upper. The other one is a very, very interesting character. You never see them on anger management programs. They don't believe they have a problem with anger. Now, the movie Anger Management, is all about the distancer. Alan Bandler plays the, you know, the other leading role.
Yeah, you got the right name for me.
Exactly.
Alan
Bandler, who plays the other leading role. I mean, he's passive-aggressive. He's a distancer. He's a poor me. And he doesn't access in any way that he's angry. But in the movie, you can see the different situations where he's angry. The distancer doesn't see themselves as a problem with anger. The distancer thinks you have the problem with anger. And every time it gets too hot to handle, they walk out of the room or walk out of your life. So there's a five anger style.
Hey, I wish we had longer, Mike. This is really interesting because maybe we'll get the chance. We'll do a longer interview with you, Mike.
Whatever you want to.
Mike Fisher, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Mike Fisher there from the British Association of Anger Management Centre, or BAM, BAMM. So, Shelley, you calm it down. What are you then, Shell? Are you a poor me? No, you're a poor me, you are. Poor me, poor me.